The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Talking about a friendly association of people who share similar or same interest. When you use the word koinonia, it's talking about joint participation. It's talking about contribution. It's talking about fellowshipping, and it's talking about collection. A collection of people that gather for a particular objective and a purpose that they share in common. So fellowship has a lot of things it does in our lives. Somebody comes with strength, another comes with weakness. God makes the strength of those who are strong cover the weakness of those who are weak, so that they will be together lifted, so we'll all be strong. Because a chain breaks at its weakest point, and God wants us all to be strong. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Number two, tables in the Bible represent provision. It talks about the Lord providing for his people. In Psalm 23 verse 5, the Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In other words, even in the presence of those who hate me or don't like me or don't see eye to eye with me, you are so gracious that you prepare a table of provision so that I lack nothing. Number three, table is a place where we meet with one another. I have talked about fellowship. And it's a place where we actually deliberately and intentionally meet with one another. Number four, a table is a place where we connect together. We come to connect together. In our connection, God may make somebody pick a revelation about something good, or a revelation about a challenge into the future. And that revelation may be shared so that we all are cautious, or we all look forward to the good thing that is in it, so that we pursue after it. This kind of connection, business people will call it networking. So it's an opportunity to connect with another child of God, and even much more to connect with the Most High God. Number five, a table in the Bible represents a place of his presence. And whose presence am I talking about? I'm talking about the presence of the Most High God. You will remember that in the Old Testament, under the period of the tabernacle, one main furniture that was in the inner court was the table of showbread, where there was the bread that was also called the bread of his presence, that was openly presented on this table of showbread. This bread represents the bread of his presence, the bread of his face, the bread of his favor. So while we are going to the table of the Lord, God is with us. Can I hear better? Amen. I say God is with us. We are not going to the table minus God. We are going to the table because God is there. And declarations that we make are going to work because God is at the table. Oh, your amen doesn't mean you believe what God can do. We go to the table because that bread is also an element of his grace. is an element where he endows us with things that we don't deserve and gives us this ability to experience amazing good things in the supernatural. So the table of the Lord is a place of connection and also a place of his presence. Today, because we're going to the presence of God at his table, I can declare that sicknesses shall be healed. I can again declare that yokes of bondage shall be destroyed. Oh, can I declare louder? I can declare that the enemy's power shall be broken again. And I declare that victory shall be established in the household of faith. You may have come in weak, but today you will leave here strong. You may have come in discouraged, but today you'll be highly encouraged. You may have come in as a loser, but today at the Lord's table, you will be the greatest winner in the name of Jesus Christ. Finances may have been low for you, but God is going to connect you to his source once again, where his finances will flow in your life. If you believe you are in the presence of God, can you put your hands together, somebody? In the same presence is his power. The power that was there in the beginning when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The power that was there when Jesus died, and the power came in the form of the glory of God and went into Jesus' tomb and raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that if we are connected to the Spirit that raised Christ, then that Spirit will quicken our mortal body. Oh, can I hear an amen? We are connected to the same power that opened the eyes of the blind. I say we are connected to the same power that unstopped the ears of the dead. We are connected to the same power that said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth out of the tomb, although it was the fourth day of his death. And I want you to know this power supersedes every power. There is no power that is greater than the power of God. The power of God is so far up that the other powers cannot be compared to that power. If you believe that power has been released and has started working in your life, let your amen be very powerful. Let your shout and your clap be very powerful in the name of Jesus Christ. That power will take you from nobody and make you a great somebody. Oh, I said that power will pick you from where nobody knows you, and now you'll be a cynosure to every eye. Say amen. People will look at you and marvel that is it the same person that we knew, and is it the same person that the power of God has worked on, and is it the same person that the power of God has transformed. You must have faith, you must have confidence in this power at all times, because it's the power that will deliver you from prison. Oh, Masokataya Brastaya. It was a power that when Paul and Silas were jailed and their feet were, you know, put in shackles and their hands were put in shackles and they began to pray around midnight and thereafter they began to sing. It was the same power that broke into the foundation of the prison and shook the place with an earthquake by the power of God. And the chains were broken and they were set free. And it was not only Paul and Silas who were set free, but all the prisoners were set free because the power of God came. Today I declare not only one person shall be set free here, as many as believe in the power, as many as trust in God, God will pick you out of shame. Oh, can I hear an amen? You are coming out of shame. You are coming out of reproach. You are coming out of defeat. Shout a bigger amen to God's glory. The table of the Lord represents His presence. And in the old tabernacle, there was the table of showbread, which is the table of His presence. And where His presence is, there is the power of God. Oh, let me hear an amen. Oh, shout a better amen. Number six, the table in the Bible represents the place of His blessing. We just read in 1 Corinthians 10:16 about the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? That's the cup of His blessing. Can you take the cup of His blessing and not be blessed? I'm not hearing an answer. Can you take the cup of His strength and still be weak? Can you take the cup of His favor and still be in disfavor? So there's a cup of His blessing. And today when you touch the cup, you know the blessing is pouring into you. The Bible says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. But this cup will stir the blessing and bring it to the fore. Can you clap to Jesus? Say amen. Oh, let me hear a more joyful clap offering. Number six, the table, number seven, forgive me, number seven, the table is a place of brokenness. We just read that the bread represents the believers and the bread represents oneness. And the breaking of the bread typifies our brokenness. The Bible says God is not looking for a sacrifice of arrogance, but is looking for a contrite and a broken heart. A contrite heart is not the heart that will say, Lord, I'm better than my neighbor. That my neighbor is a sinner and gossips and undermines people. But you take your eyes away from anybody else and put your eyes on God. And when you see the holiness of God, you, like Isaiah, will say, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Oh, let me hear an amen. It is in that state that you allow God to break you and remold you to fit His purposes in this life for you. It is on that occasion that you allow that state of brokenness to please God so that He will honor you. Number eight, the table is a place of wisdom. The Bible says, for Christ was made unto us many things, but one of the things that He was made unto us is His wisdom. Today you will interact with wisdom. Today you will embrace wisdom. Today, the wisdom of God will manifest in your life. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. And in all thy getting, get understanding. Number nine. The table in the Bible represents a place of celebration. It's a place of celebration. You and I were not part of the fight for the independence of our country. Some fathers in history dedicated their lives to fighting For some of them were thrown into jail, others were killed, and others were maimed in the circumstances. But at the end of the day, those who sacrificed their lives for the betterment of the nation, we remember them and we continue to call their names. We didn't have to go back and fight the colonizers. We didn't have to go back and fight those who took us into bondage as slaves. But we are the generation that celebrate the victory that our forebears fought for us. You and I cannot go to Calvary's cross. But while Christ was dying, the Bible says we were inside him on the cross. So when he gave up his ghost, we died with him. When he was buried in the tomb, we were buried with him. And when he rose up again, we rose up with him. And when he sat at the right hand of the Father in heaven, we sat with him. That is why the Bible says that we are lifted far above principality and power, and we are seated at the right hand of God, because we went through the process while we were inside him. And today is a day of big celebration. Your celebration is fine, but when Messi dribbles 7 people and scores, the celebration is bigger than yours. Oh, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I'm talking about that great footballer. Dribbling people and scoring an amazing goal. The stadium stands at attention and they clap to the glory of that goal. Today, it's a celebration of your life. Oh, those here are not in the service at all. Those here are not in the service. Today is a celebration of your salvation. Today is a celebration of your deliverance from bondage and from captivity. Oh, shout amen and receive your victory. We are marching from victory to victory in Christ Jesus, with the bloodstained banner of Christ over our head. No power can be able to stop us. No power shall stop us. No power shall be able to resist us. We are marching as the winners, as the victors, as the overcomers. It is established already that the devil is under our feet, and that we must maintain him there. Can you clap and shout louder to God's glory? Oh, it is to God's glory. It is to God's glory. Ayende ne Messia paradosika taya. Oh, celebrate the goodness of God over your marriage to come. Celebrate the goodness of God in the marriage in which you are. God is about to bless your home. He's about to bless your wife. He's about to bless you as the husband. God is about to bless your children. Your children will come forth. Why are you not celebrating in a grand style? Celebrate with excitement. Celebrate, oh, with jubilation. Celebrate. The songwriter says, celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Dun, 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 dun. Jesus, I want to hear, oh, the people here understand. Come on, sing it. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Dun, 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 dun. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He is real. He is real. And he lives, oh, forevermore. Celebrate. Come on and celebrate.
the resurrection of our God.
Oh, come on, shout. Come on, Emma. Now I'm celebrating. Ah, yeah.
Celebrate. Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate. Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate. Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus.
Come on, he's risen.
Celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I'm trading my
sorrow.
Oh, come on. I'm trading my sin.
Oh, come on, rejoice. The people here. You are a little dull. You are a little dull today.
I'm trading now.
I'm trading my sickness.
I'm trading my
day. I lay them down for the joy of the
Are you ready?
Lord.
Are you ready?
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes,
yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, I'm trading.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Oh, I'm trading.
I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying.
Are you ready to rejoice? Come on, come on. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, come on.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, Ale.
Oh, Ale. Oh, Ala. Ale, Ale. Hallelujah.
Ale.
Oh, I want you to shout. Oh, you are not shouting. You are not rejoicing in power. Shout that the walls of Jericho might break down for you. Shanarabasia. I like that. I like that celebration. You may sit down, please. So I said the table of the Lord, number one, represents fellowship, koinonia. Number two, the table also represents the place of provision. Number three, the table is the place where we meet with one another. Number four, it's a place of connection.
Number five, it's a place of his presence. Number six, it's a place of blessing. Number seven, it's a place of brokenness. Number eight, it's a place of wisdom. Number nine, it's a place of celebration. Let me hear another shout today. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Finally, it's a place of destruction to the enemy or a place of victory to the believer. Place of destruction to the enemy or place of victory to the believer. There were many tables in the Bible, if you read from Genesis to the book of Revelation, but I will highlight on four kinds of table. The first one is the table in the wilderness. The second is the table of the Lord, which we are looking at already. The third is the table of devils. And the fourth is the table of the Last Supper. So we start from the very top, the table in the wilderness. In Psalm 78, verse 19, Psalm 78 and verse 19, the Bible says, yea, they speak against God. Now it's referring to Israel. They speak against God, or they spoke against God. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In other words, can God prepare a table for us in the wilderness? When people go through tough times and challenging times, sometimes their faith goes so low, they tend to start doubting God. When people walk in the context of insufficiency for a long period of time, their confidence in God for provisions tends to diminish. Starts dwindling. It starts going down. Walking through the wilderness for 40 years was a long period. And they were going through one challenge after the other. There were moments that they had no food to eat. All they needed to do was to trust in the power of God that was able to provide for them. But those people rather became so low in faith that they began to doubt the ability of God. The Bible says there were a group of people among the Israelites who were called the mixed multitudes. And the mixed multitude always had a problem with God. Whenever something delayed in coming, they would talk. Whenever there was unavailability of food or water or something, they were the people who would suggest that let us raise another leader other than what God has raised for us, and let us head in the opposite direction and go back to Egypt where we have come from. They forget or forgot that they had served over 400 years without any rewards in the wilderness. And it was only God who came to help them come out of that place. I want you to know that in the period of abundance, God can provide for you. Can I say it again? I said it to your surprise. Now, as I'm saying it once more, it shouldn't be to your surprise. It should be to your benefit. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I said in the period of abundance, God can meet every need of yours. Similarly, in the period of lack, in the period of famine, in the period when things are really down, the same God can meet every need of yours. For my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God can supply your needs when you don't have a job. God can supply your needs when your first salary has not yet arrived. God can supply your needs if your company is not able to pay you for the past 5 or 6 months. God can still sustain you. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. God does not need a job to maintain you. He can provide for you till the period of a job comes. So if you believe that where you are, God is able to visit you and turn things around and provide more than enough, can you clap to his glory? When Israel were dwelling in Samaria, a group of enemies called the Assyrians came to surround them. So they cut Israel off from the rest of the world. No goods were brought in, and no goods were taken out of Israel to be sold, to make profits, and to make their nation better. The little that they had was what they consumed and kept consuming until everything got finished. Now things were so bad that even animal feces was selling at a great price. Now when I say dove, you think it's a glorified bird. But when I say chicken feces, Wolfie was selling at a great price. Then it got worse. Now there was no flesh, there was no food. And people would bargain, let's eat your last born so that when the soup gets finished, we will take my last born as well. And that was what was happening in Samaria. It was in the midst of such terrible darkness and apparent lack of restoration and a situation where it looked beyond redemption that the prophet of God stood and said, tomorrow by this time. Oh, come on. He said, tomorrow by this time, the Lord will visit Israel. And in the place of the shortages, there shall be a glut on the market. He said, in the place of farming, there shall be more than enough. And people will have more to eat, more to wear, and there will be such celebration in the land. This second in command to the king had been so affected by the situation. Listen to me, a child of God must be able to go through a horrible circumstance without the thing affecting you. They were three Hebrew boys thrown into fire. The fire was heated 7 times its normal strength. So the fire will literally lick you when a bit of it touches you. The people who were to throw them in initially were licked by the fire. So they had to find more experienced people who were stronger and could throw them from a distance behind. Eventually, they were thrown into the fire. In other words, there are some situations God will let you pass through. When they landed in the fire, the fourth man appeared. Oh, come on, put your hands together. The Bible says when they were brought out at the order of the king, there was no smoke smelt on them. Neither was their hair singed because of the fire. You can go through sorrow and come out joyful. You can go through depression and come out filled with confidence to accomplish. Can I hear an amen? You can go through lack and poverty and think like a rich man. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. The situation you go through must not necessarily be written in your life. You must not be looking like problem personified. That everywhere you go, they know that there's a problem. When you sit before an interview panel, all your face is saying problem, 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 problem. You think it is the witches in your family? No, you have become a manifestation of your problem. One small gentleman on earth, in the midst of over 5 billion people, jilted you. Since then, you haven't recovered. Sister, recover. Sister, buy the best meal you want. If you don't know any meal, I would suggest to you watch it that is garnished with all the things that you want. Can I hear an amen? You can have a little pork at the corner of the watch. Have a little chicken thigh on the other edge. Have some fish in the center of the city. And have a little bit of egg. And choose what you want. So you can go through challenge and not be affected by the challenge. Pastor, I can't pray because I keep thinking about it will come, but you have to rationalize. It will come, but you have to tell yourself that if he was good enough, he wouldn't have left you, and that there's a better deal on the way. Oh, come on, shout amen. The fact that you lost your job does not mean it must start affecting your relationship with your spouse. That now, since I lost my job, we cannot have sex. Who told you? Since I lost my job, I cannot smile to the children. You keep beating the children anyhow. You have a problem. You need social psychological therapy. Some people never overcome it. They get jilted at 29. They carry it till they are 70. So that seed, the root of bitterness, starts affecting them and their children and their grandchildren. Tell the next person, drop it all. Drop it all. Leave it. Leave it to the Lord. And declare, I shall be very happy. If you are happy, show it to the Lord. Yeah. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. That's all right. So you can go through. And so they went through the wilderness, Israel, and it affected their confidence. You're supposed to be reading the word. You're supposed to be present with the brethren. You're supposed to be meditating on the word day and night. Meditation on the word is not for rich people. As a matter of fact, it's for both rich and the poor. And has the power to make both of them rich again. Oh, I said you'll be rich again. So they said, can God furnish a table for us in the wilderness? In other words, can God lay a table for us in the wilderness? I want to respond my. Will you respond yours? Yes! Can I ask it the second time? Can God lay a table for you in the wilderness? Yes! I'm asking you for the final time. I said, can God prepare a table for you in the wilderness? Yes! If you say yes, then start acting like God has prepared a table for you. Will God take care of you in your retirement? Yes! Even in the presence of your enemies, he lays a table before you. So I said I'm dealing with the various kinds of table that we find through the Bible, and I'm highlighting on just four. The second one is the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord was introduced to us by Jesus. It was also established as an ordinance. In other words, we are supposed to go to the table of the Lord periodically, many times in the year, many times in the month. Jesus established it, and he said, you must be doing this till I come back. For when you do it, you do show the Lord's death. You are reenacting the victory that Christ got for you through his death on Calvary's cross. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Luke 22, 19, Jesus did a few things on that night, that evening, when he shared the Lord's table with his disciples. Luke 22, 19, he says, and he took bread, number one. Number two, and gave thanks. Number three, and broke it. And number four, gave unto them, referring to his disciples. And as he so did, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And give it unto them. It says, when you do this, you do show the Lord's death, which means it's a demonstration of the power of God, reenacted, the power that defeated the enemy. Oh, shout amen, shout amen. The third table. I've spoken much about the second table this morning. The third table is the table of devils. There's a table that is called the table of devils. Another expression is the table of demons. 1 Corinthians 10:21, it says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So you can't drink from the table of the Lord and drink from the cup of devils. You can't be a partaker of the table of the Lord and at the same time be a partaker of the table of devils. So the cup of devils is the cup of demons. We are not supposed to sit at table and have meat at the idol's temple. 1 Corinthians 8:10. We are not supposed to. 1 Corinthians 8:10 tells you, and I'm paraphrasing, we are not supposed to sit at table and have meat at the idol's temple. It annoys God. It doesn't bring blessing to you. When you go to the table of devils, it means you are worshiping the devils. You are bowing down to them, you, because you are afraid that they are your family gods, and if you offend them, they will strike you, so you go and bow. The three Hebrew boys says, we will not bow. We are ready to burn. But God delivered them from burning. If you bow, you rather perish. There are some who are so afraid that they will go and sacrifice to idols, because the whole community is doing it and it's an annual or periodic tradition. So they will be part of it. And they go and they say, everybody should say something on a stone and throw it into a river. You, a child of God, you are also picking a stone and saying something like that. There are some people who are asked to pay levies to maintain the family gods. I don't know what kind of maintenance, because the same Amagat that I've seen at the end is the same, hasn't changed. There's a main street, I don't want to mention the location. It hasn't changed. But they say for the maintenance of the family God, so I'm not going, so take my money. You can't have her pesuwa from me. Tell the next person, you must not participate in it. Tell the next person. Sometimes it's a ritual meal where at an annual festival, everybody gathers together at the bowl to eat. There's a particular meal prepared for that festival. Before they eat, they will go and sprinkle it to the gods. Then after they are finished sprinkling to the gods, they come and tell you to eat it. It was the same that happened in the time of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they declined to take the king's meal, which had been offered to idols. And they said, give us vegetables so that after 10 days, we will see the impact that it has on us. The Bible says these people became 10 times better. Oh, come on, put your hands together. They were more nourished. They looked fresh. They were stronger. The favor of God was upon them, because they stood to glorify the name of the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. I remember when we were young, we lived somewhere with a relative who believed in the occult and didn't hide it. So periodically he will take the neck of a white chicken and strangle it and tear the head off from the body and throw the rest of the body of the chicken away so that it will wriggle and writhe in excruciating pain and die. Then he would say, nobody should leave the house today and go anywhere, especially those who go to church, they must not go. Then you see one brother after the other pick their Bible and walk across it and go to church. Now come on, put your hands together. Those who were afraid and stayed have all died. But those of us who walked out are still living. Come on, put your hands together. I want you to clap to God's glory. We were young. Young, we couldn't rent a place, we had to live with a relative. But our faith had to be tested, because somebody wanted us to stay in because there was an occultic ritual. Some of you, when you have protracted problems, particularly when they say there's a sickness here or there and it's cancer, and it's this attack on your liver and your kidney, then people come and suggest to you that let us go here. You see, if your Christianity is strong, you will stand on your 2 feet, invite one or two brethren to go and agree with you somewhere, and you will fast and seek God's face that he will touch you. My mother had this favor because one of my brothers had a terrible nervous breakdown. And the home in which we lived, that was the challenge. And the person had a certain recommendation to make that we should contact a place of doubtful spiritual source. And my mother said no. This younger brother of mine lay there for almost a year when a fly landed on the lip. He couldn't drive it out, not even with his breath. And he was literally vegetating. You could see him bloating. His face was shining for nothing. And he couldn't eat much. And he would respond with his eyes barely. And he was lying there. I remember a group of people from the apostolic church would come and lay hands every Sunday. And one day when they came, he woke up. He rose up and said, I am standing by myself. He literally had to learn how to walk again. And God glorified his name. Because of the way my mother stood, she went into disfavor with the head of the household. But God honored the name. Today, as I talk to you, this younger brother is anointed. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. And he's a minister of the gospel. And he's working for Jesus Christ. And he's still alive and healthy. Oh, come on, you have to put your hands together. Pastor, she went, yeah, she will come and stop. Look, you are not a Christian to be pushed about. Otherwise, you are not worth the kingdom of God. You are not a Christian to be bullied by fear and to be told all kinds of things. Let your testimony stand out. Let your faith mark you out. Pastor Ntashi no na ba obile. Nobody can take your child except you allow it. I said nobody. There are people who are dedicated to the occult and incisions are made on their bodies and all kinds of things. And all this represent drinking from the cup of the devil. Then when you finish, you come and drink from the cup of the Lord. God says, I will not be happy with you. He says, I will not be happy with you. I will not be pleased with you. Can I hear an amen? Oh, let me hear a better amen. Can I veer a little off into marriage? Marriage is marriage, and what is not marriage is not marriage. Half marriage is not marriage. A student may finish all his papers or her papers in the university, completed final year, paid all the fees, satisfied every requirement. But until the batch that he completed with is graduated, that student has not graduated. So you cannot write an application and say, I have graduated. You are a liar. You are a potential graduate. That's even what they use for you. Half marriage is no marriage. In the Bible, there was a distinction between betrothal and marriage. Betrothal is only an indication of your intention as a man to get married to a woman. It's an indication of intention. It has nothing to do with the actual act of marriage and consummation of the marriage through sex. If I have an intention to build a house, have I built a house? No. I have an intention to buy the latest Mercedes-Benz, the sleek Mercedes-Benz that when it passes and that's papa is at the other end. Have I bought it? Oh, if I have an intention to steal and I haven't stolen, have I stolen it? And some of you are doing knocking and calling it marriage. Knocking, you are standing outside the gate of the house where you want to marry from. You haven't entered the house. Oshiagbo. Come on, put your hands together. Listen to me. Some people have lived with such people like that until the people died. And I've seen in recent times one gentleman who was forced to marry the dead body because he hadn't married. Marriage is not between the living and the dead. So the one you are living with for 30 years and he just went to Shiagbo is your longtime boyfriend. Great. I like the way you are smiling. Can I hear a good amen? So, what is needful to be done? You don't have to do pumping. You just wear what is a khaki trousers and nice top, or jeans trousers and nice top, and satisfy the customary one and come to be blessed. That's all. That's all. Will you give the hand of your daughter away for knocking? It will never happen before me. Knocking is like you have found a deep freezer in town and they are selling the freezer for 700 cedis. They say, oh, you want to make a down payment? In some parts of the world, they call it layaway. They'll put it aside for you. So this one, you want to make a down payment. So you say, well, I have 100 cedis. I think it's 700 cedis. So put it down for me. I'll come back tomorrow and pay it. Have you paid fully for the thing? No. Does the thing belong to you? No. It's just a down payment. The Bible says you cannot drink from the cup of devils and drink from the cup of the Lord. Sister, if the man you are with is not married to you, just gently say, today, we are not forcing people. We are gentle. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Is the customary marriage not a marriage? By the laws of Ghana, customary marriage is a marriage. But we as children of God dedicate our marriage before we enjoy. So we come to church for blessing. That's all. Oh, come on, put your hand. That's why we dedicate the house before we sleep in. We dedicate the child before he grows. So don't say, all these white weddings, the European blessing. I say, come to church. It's in the Bible. Jesus attended a wedding, not Agboshimo. Someone came to me and said, Pastor, in wife, eh, Jimmy. Then I said, Joe, wife me. Oh, girlfriend, come back. Oh, girlfriend, eh, Jimmy. There are explicit laws in Ghana that recognize what the laws of Ghana call marriage. So you can't invent your own idea. No, don't be such a Christian. Except we represent the state of Ghana. So before you are giving as a church, that register, the definition of what constitutes a marriage is given to you. So you are an officer of the state as well as an under-shepherd of Christ. In the Bible, the betrothal, sometimes it took between 1 day and 1 year. It was a long period. For me, I advise that keep a short gap between your engagement and the wedding. It can be a week before, 2 weeks before. It can be the same day you do the two events so that you don't have any problem. Let me come back. I think you should be clapping for the Lord. There are some that the person hasn't even done the knocking, but they have 5 children. Having 5 children with another person doesn't make it a marriage. No. No. To operate in Ghana as a political party, you must satisfy the requirements of the Electoral Commission and the laws of Ghana to work as a political party. Otherwise, right now I can say Tete Jangma, Progressive, United. What? Give me another word. What did you say? Tete Jangma, Progressive. United Alliance. Thank you. I like the word alliance. If you join us, we will share Gary Fortel to all of you. I have freedom of association in Ghana, and I can own a group. But if I want it to be recognized as a political party, I must register as such and have branches in all the districts in the country. Oh, let's clap, let's clap, let's clap. Let me end the word. So number one type of marriage, sorry, of table rather, you see. Yeah, I'm confusing myself. What did we say the number one table was? The table in the wilderness. Number two, the table of the Lord. Number three, the table of devils. And number four, the Last Supper. The Last Supper has been highlighted in many scriptures, particularly in the book of Revelations, I believe chapter 19. It's talking about the end of age when Christ shall come to take the church away from the presence of this world and will be taken to a place where there shall be no more pain, there shall be no more sorrow, there shall be no more death, and we shall stay in the company of the presence of God forever. In that place, the Bible says there will be a union between Christ and us. The church is the bride. The church is seen like the woman. And Christ is the groom. And we'll be made to sit together at table with Christ. And that is called the Last Supper. The Bible says, blessed are those who partake in this Last Supper. Because all we are doing, we must aim at the Last Supper. Oh, come and put your hands together. Where we shall dine and wine with Christ. The Bible says we shall be wearing white. So periodically, as we go to the Lord's table, you always find something white in what some of us wear. We are practicing what God would do for us into the future. We are declaring, God, show us mercy and make us a part of that great feast, that great banquet. The Bible says he invited us into his banqueting hall, and his banner over us is love. Can we clap to the Lord for his goodness? Oh, let's clap them all. Oh, are you clapping or you are not clapping? Oh, let's keep clapping, let's keep clapping, let's keep clapping. Thank you so much for honoring Christ and honoring his word. Today, my prayer for everyone, including me here, that God should be gracious to us. God should have mercy on us. Look down upon us with his eyes of compassion. Although we are not qualified to sit at table with the king like Mephibosheth, let the compassion of the king reach us that we may sit at table with him. Whatever will constitute death or destruction or sickness and disease to anybody in this church, let it be overthrown today. As many as shall partake of the Lord's table today, let it be a blessing to them. Oh, can I hear better? Amen. We ask that the power of blessing shall be upon the cup, that the fulfillment of his covenant shall be real in our lives. We ask that the power on the bread, the body of Christ, which was broken for us, by which we were instructed to take, eat, drink, we declare in Jesus' name that power will be reignited and reinaugurated. That anybody that shall touch these elements, just touch them. Let the element of grace and power be released into their lives. None shall die prematurely here. You are not saying amen. None shall die here prematurely. None shall be sick because we went to the Lord's table. Father, how can we neglect such a great salvation that you have brought to us? Bless us, Lord. That night he took the bread, he broke it and gave thanks. We thank you, Father, for your sacrifice through Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life as an offering, as a sacrifice. We thank you for this element that you instituted and ordained for us to follow after your pattern. I command today, let the sick be healed. Let the depressed be delivered. Let the fearful be set free. Let the poor become rich. Let the disfavored become favored. Let them that lack anointing be anointed today. Let the power of accomplishment be real in our lives in Jesus' name. Say a lovely amen to that. As the elements come round, please pick one. There are two layers. Two cellophane sheets. When you peel it off, properly, the first one will give you access to the bread, to the wafer, which is the body of Christ. When you peel the second one off, it will give you access to the contents of the cup of blessing. Please wait, I will instruct you. Thank you. Razak, don't laugh. Be reflective on the grace of God. Be reflective on the love of God. Be reflective on the power of God. Be reflective on the anointing of God. Be reflective on the visitations of the Lord. Those online, pick your elements. Pick your elements. If you have some bread, some biscuit, pick it up. If you have some communion wine or some wine, it may be non-alcoholic, please pick it up. As I bless it, bless yours as well, that it might be a blessing to you. Mayonerebe siya bakataya. Ayenerebe kisa paradushnikibri. Please go ahead and partake of the bread, which is the body of Christ. That night, after he had blessed the cup, he said, "This is the cup of his blessing. Curses are rolled away. You cannot be cursed. You won't remain the nine acres. You are blessed for its manifestation to occur, that all may see." Please go ahead and partake of the cup.